action. God is here. And what I want to talk about and continue to teach on is this lesson we began, which is really appropriate for us to let God take us deeper. Say, take us deeper. Appreciate the worship team and band for what they do and how they help prepare the way. If you would, open your Bible to St. John chapter 1, and we're going to continue our teaching on built to last. Say, built to last. God wants our life to last, not just live a long life, which many of us are very familiar with, to live a long life like 80, 100, 120 years or more. People are living long, so why shouldn't we? And not just eat healthier and do things like that, but we're going to find out that one of the areas where I've been spending more time on and focus on is the area of embracing love and forgiveness. Say, love and forgiveness.
Love and forgiveness.
And it requires us to grow in a number of areas in our lives. We started a ministry called the Nehemiah Project, and it focuses on ministering to former foster youth, those who are in the foster care system, and then they aged out, and now they're adult and on their own. The unfortunate thing about it, although there are many good adopted parents, many good foster parents and homes, unfortunately, it hasn't worked for so many people. And I got a better understanding of how deep hurt can be to people until they really get a chance to really deal with it. And it may take some time for them to deal with it because of the nature of the trauma. We have young people even in our church that have been in more than 20, 30, 40 different homes by the time they're 19, 20 years old. You can imagine the sense of nobody wants me. I don't fit in. And how the devil takes that to lie to people. Or people may have had, different jobs and they don't last long. Or maybe relationships or marriages haven't worked. Maybe there's various things that just kind of traumatize us and the devil takes advantage of it. And what happens, that comes out in a number of ways when life happens and there's offense and there's disappointment. And then it's difficult to forget because, you got all this baggage, this history. And so God understands that. But nevertheless, he wants to get us to a place where we can begin to bear fruit, enjoy this wonderful life he calls the abundant life. It's not just having a good time, not just having a nice party and celebration. It's living a life of peace, and a life where you're comfortable with who you are and where you are in your walk with God. You're not anxious about, what tomorrow brings. Let it's going to bring, it's going to bring, but you want to bring something good so you enjoy the day and the moment today. And so this abundant life is really about the quality of life that only Jesus can give us, but we have to learn to tap into it. That's the point. So we'll talk a bit about this and go deeper and provide some insight. But before we do that, I would like to reference a book here by Dr. Jack Hayford. It's called The Spirit Form Life, and there's a section in it that I recommend you read, from page 34 through page 40, and it's called The Central Point, and that's a section I would like you to read on your own and get the book, and the whole book is good, by the way. It's about forming our Christian life properly and really being discipled, not just by one another, people, which Jesus discipled people, but allowing God to disciple you.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Allowing God, the creator of heaven and earth, to disciple you.
Amen.
And one of the biggest challenges, not just the challenge we have with change and change where we are today, that's understandable, but oftentimes it's a challenge of you don't want nobody telling you what to do. Even God.
Wow. Wow.
And sometimes receiving direction and clarification is an offense to people. But that's the problem. If you want God to disciple you. And so you can't pick and choose. Yes, you can. Pick and choose what you want to believe and do in the Bible. People do that. But unless, as a Christian, I'm talking to Christians today. People who don't believe in Jesus, don't believe in God, I'm not talking to them right now. You have an opportunity to receive it if it gets ministered to. But the Bible is written for those who will follow and believe in God. And so, unless you embrace all of it, it doesn't work. It really doesn't work. And so I want to encourage you, as you grow in the knowledge of God, you start deciding to make some adjustments and changes. And one of them is an area of loving people, forgiving them, and dealing with offense. Say offense.
Offense.
Because offenses come. Jesus says, you know, you can't avoid it. It's going to happen. You're going to be disappointed. Folk, when may I do it right? I paid all my money. I can't believe you did that. I told you to do it right. You know, and it's going on and on. They talk about it on your way home, as opposed to kind of just addressing and leaving it there, and you're okay, as opposed to you, 3 weeks you're still talking about it. I can't believe what... Offended. What happens, it piles up. And because it deals with the heart, it comes out in places. In fact, by the way, one of our brothers, in fact, Donovan, he was sharing last Sunday. It's very powerful. It's posted on Facebook. He allowed us to do that, and it's very powerful. But he made an observation that sometimes, you know, you carry this stuff, and you don't know when it's going to come out, how it's going to come out. And it comes out, and all of a sudden you slap somebody you didn't mean to slap. You hit somebody, I mean, in terms of words and actions, it may not be an actual slap, but are you following me? You hurt people you didn't really mean to hurt. Sometimes the ones you love the most, because you really haven't dealt with the true issue in your heart. Say, in your heart. And although we keep talking about this, although Jesus healed many, many people physically, but he said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. The brokenhearted. Say brokenhearted.
Brokenhearted.
And so we want to talk about a very classic example of offense and how what happened, because if we don't take offense, see it as God's perspective, then we open ourselves up to the enemy to mess up our lives, in some cases destroy our lives. We're going to look at here at John the Baptist. And now he's a man of God. God honored him. God recognized him. But he died a tragic death. And we're going to talk about what opened up, at least how the door got open, and that it was a fence. And it's in the Bible. You got to see it for yourself. But see, fence is not something to play with. Nothing to play with.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing. And so when we understand this, we'll be able to appreciate, get it off me. I'm sorry. I love you. All right, let's make up. Yeah. Because fences come, and we have to deal with it. We all have to deal with it. Bishop, too. Amen.
Amen.
But herein, look at, I said, St. John chapter 1. It says, and John bore witness, speaking of Jesus, if you read the context, earlier verses, he's baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. On him is Jesus, okay? So he saw the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus after he baptized him. Verse 33. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me. Now, when he's sent by God, the Father God spoke to John. He said, you're going to know this is the one by this. Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remain on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is the Messiah coming. This is the one I'm talking about. When you see that, that's your confirmation. That's the one. Say, that's the one.
That's the one.
Verse 34. And I have seen and testified, I confirm, that this is the Son of God. Say, this is the Son of God. Now, if you read the whole context, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Okay? He's right before him after he got baptized. So clearly, John understood from the beginning that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Would you agree?
Yes.
Any question about that? No. Now, look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. Now, there's a lot more in between, and you can read that on your own and study. It's really interesting. It's amazing how as you go deep in the Bible and read the Bible again, even things you read and chapters you read many, many times before, all of a sudden things pop out. Oh, I didn't see that. And one of the areas that help you out in your reading is take notes as you read. This is your basic Bible reading. Because what you note, by writing it down, it puts mental memory, and then all of a sudden you read again. Oh, something comes up. Oh, you go back, your notes, go back to that verse, and it connects the dots. Say, connect the dots. If you don't do that, then you're just reading randomly, you know, a verse here and there, and you don't see the connections. And this is the unfolding of the story, and the account is opened up in various parts, various gospels. What you may see 20% of it and say in Matthew, 30% of it in Mark. Now you have 50%. Another 40% in John. Now you got 10% in Luke, got 100% of it. Are you following me? Unless you study like that, God inspired men to write this. And they get pieces of it, but when you study and read, you get the whole thing. Say the whole thing. And that's why some of these aha moments say, wow, I didn't see it that way. You got to read the whole what? Thing. So here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison, say in the prison, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Now you may say, what is John doing in the prison? In fact, it's interesting, as I began to study and review this again myself, preparing for this message, I began to realize, because I had the same question. What is John doing in the prison? Well, what happened that he got into prison, by the way, shortly after Jesus entered his earthly ministry, after the 40-day fast. He went, in fact, the Bible says he came up his fast, and the Bible says, and John was in prison. So early part of Jesus' ministry, John went to prison. And when you pick up here, this account, it's Jesus already active in his earthly ministry. He's healing the sick. He's going to quote it that I'm doing all this stuff. That's been happening for a while. He may have been in prison at least a year or two, possibly. You may say, well, how did he get in prison? Well, he began to admonish Herod, the king, that he's messing around and took his brother's wife. And he said, I was wrong, which was. And so he didn't like that. Put him in prison. Say, he put him in prison. Now, if you look at the other passage of scripture, like in Acts, when Peter was in prison for preaching the gospel, he started out praising God and worshiping God, and God sent an angel to get him out of the prison. We're going to see that God didn't do that for John the Baptist. Now, it's John was an anointed man of God, sent by God, but if we let offense get in, it can spoil everything. Unaddressed, it can spoil everything. He's in prison. And God didn't get him out. When you read it in the book of Acts, Peter, it was a miraculous jailbreak. God sent an angel, his chains just dropped off. He walked out of prison. Nobody bothered him. He walked by the guards, the first ward, second ward, third ward, fourth ward, out. He's the same yesterday, the day of forever. But offense.
Yes.
But offense. Say offense.
Offense.
Yeah, it's real. And I'm not trying to play God and put, I'm just reading the Bible, you all. Helping connect the dots. But God, see, God, he honors faith. And not just faith for things, the faith to do what he asks you to do and live and love one another. Say love one another. And forgive one another. Say forgive one another. That's part of it. Not just getting stuff. You want to use faith to get a car, get a house, get a job, and all, get a husband, get a wife, and all that. That's fine. What about faith to forgive somebody? It's hard to forgive. Faith to love somebody, it's hard to love. Yeah. Will you use your faith for him, for God? Oh, yeah, yeah. Will you use your faith for God, what God wants to get done in your life? Not just about the stuff you want to get done in your life. Because if we're going to be built to last and live a long life and a life that's fruitful and for our grandchildren, those around and others, and outlast even our physical life, this is the big piece we have to deal with, is embracing love and forgiveness. Say love and forgiveness. So in verse 3 it says, and said unto him, so what happened is that Jesus began to respond. Let's go back to verse 2 again. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Say two of his disciples. Now what happened, if you read the account after John recognized who Jesus was, the Bible says John's disciples left him and followed Jesus. They became Jesus' disciples. They went to his church, if you would. Yeah. But that was the plan. If you read the scriptures, and Matthew said, even the scripture says he was a forerunner to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So when the Lord shows up, my job is over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what is he doing with disciples of his own? Something to think about. Why he still got disciples? He sent two of the disciples. He's in prison to go talk to Jesus. And they weren't as casual. They were connecting with him. Because, see, he had asked Jesus the same question before. And he sent his disciples to go tell him and inquire of him. And I wonder, what is John doing with disciples? If he's the person preparing the way for the Lord, everybody should be following him. I mean, he can still be ministering to people, but I wonder what's really going on. You'll see here. Verse 3. And he said to him, this is Jesus talking, art thou he that should come? Oh, excuse me, this is John talking. So John is responding. He's the message that the disciples sent a message to him. He says, and he said to him, speaks to him as Jesus, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Well, wait a minute. We just read in John 1, John said, this is he, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. The Spirit of God fall upon him. His shoelaces, I'm not worthy to unravel. Now he's questioning it. Now he's questioning it. Are you the one, the Messiah, or should we look for another? Did I marry the right one? Oh, did I go there? Or should I look for another? Oh, yeah, let me go there. Those thoughts will come into your mind. Paul writes to the church of Corinth, casting down every thought, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God is not about hate. God is not about breaking up. God is not about divorce. But these thoughts from the enemy, if you don't deal with it, through offense, we embrace it. We got good reason now. That's why you must not be the one. I must have missed God. Yeah. I must have missed God. No, you didn't miss God. You just got to work through it. Say, work through it. And then recognize that's the devil lying to you. Yeah, that's the devil lying to you. See, he talks in the first person, I. He acts like it's you thinking this. He don't love me. Yeah. She don't love me. I don't love them no more. That thought didn't come from God. It came from the pit of hell. But what caused the entertainer's kind of thoughts? Offense. It's not addressed. So Jonas, they get the message from John, verse 3, and he said unto him, art thou he that we should come, or do we look for another? Jesus responded in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again. Say, John, show John again. Say it again. Go and show, don't just tell him, show him again those things which we do and hear you and see. In other words, I'm doing all the miracles, all the healings, but he says, go tell him again. You know, when folks get offended, the first time wasn't enough. I'm going to go on the side over here. When folks get offended, you know, the first time I'm sorry, I ain't ready yet. When you allow it to go too long, see, we all can get offended. I get offended, but I deal with it. I deal with it. Literally, I've had to do symbolically. From the words a person spoke to me, it's like a dagger in my heart. I took it out like I did like this. I physically did that. Just to, I'm not having this. No, no, no. Yeah. Because it's real. We know it's real, y'all. Yeah. That's why it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. No, I'm not hitting on the Presbyterian. Don't get mad at me. All right. But go show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Verse 5. The blind receive their sight. Look what's happening. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. What else are you looking for, brother? That's my piece in there. And the deaf hear. Come on. What else I got to do for you? and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Well, what else, John? What's going on? And then he says this. He said, this is the message, go back to John. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, every word in Scripture has value and meaning. So Jesus wasn't just throwing in the word offense just because he's throwing it in. He recognized he was offended. And he came to him twice with this question. He says, blessed. Say blessed.
Blessed.
Oh, yeah. We talked about how when you forgive your brother, you gain your brother. It's not a loss, it's a gain. Or your sister. But now he's saying you're blessed when you're not offended in me. Now, one may say, maybe watch it online. I love Jesus. I love him. He's good. I love him. It's that brother over there, my cousin, and Deacon so-and-so, or the whatever. No, that brother in Christ, sister in Christ, is part of the body of Christ. What you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. Amen. That's Bible, Scripture. Not just the good stuff, even the bad stuff. Not just helping people, feeding the poor. What you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. Amen. How we treat one another. And again, life happens. You know, I understand this is important, but I want you to get this. See, when things happen, you got to talk about it. You got to deal with it. And when it hurts you, you got to deal with the heart. Ask the Lord to help you and take this from you. These songs we're singing is pure, powerful. But you got to believe it and act upon it, y'all. And the word act upon it. Say act upon it. Because we won't last. Relationships won't last. Businesses won't last. Folks have businesses thrive and they get a divorce. Oh, got to sell the business. Because she wants her money now. Yeah. Or he wants his money. I mean, you know how it works. And then, you know, one you like both of them, now they get a divorce. Now one says, well, if you're going to go over her house and visit her now, you ain't being my friend. That kind of crazy stuff. It just don't last. Say don't last.
Don't last.
But if you want to be built to last, this area has to be part of it. Amen. And we have to learn to master it and grow in it. Amen. And see, it's a learned behavior. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn my ways. Jesus, you know, it's interesting. There's no mention about Joseph, his stepfather, after, you know, when he went to the temple to pray and then he got lost. And after that, where's Joseph at? I don't know. Then the Bible said he has siblings, at least six or so. And they didn't believe in him. The Bible says they didn't believe in him. You know Jesus had an opportunity to be offended. Yeah. When his own brothers and sisters don't believe in him. You don't see them mentioned about coming in the crowds to hear him preach. Yeah. No mention of them except they walked, talked to him one time about, well, if you all that, just go and do this. And I ain't following you. And then the Bible says they didn't believe in him. He's not doing double talk. He's not saying us to forgive and don't be offended and don't deal with it. And he doesn't deal with it. He had to deal with it. He was tempted in all things like we are, which is offense and unforgiveness, without sin. Say without sin. It had to include this then, or else it lied. The Bible lied. He was tempted the way we're tempted. Amen. And it requires a little courage. And, you know, you got to do it right. Make sure your heart's right. It may take a little minute. Get prepared to mend the relationship. You know, you may start off with just some coffee. May not even rehash it. In fact, one of our members in our church today, after first service, it was a powerful service, and God's going to do the same thing here. So I began to do it, stay open. But she said, Pastor, she began to kind of get a little emotional about it. But see, I was having an issue with my job, and I was mad. And she said the offense and the unforgiveness got so bad, she was dealing with suicide. Now, you know, it went too far. You're going to let folk at your job kill yourself? But if you don't have the skill set, it becomes so much. Can't sleep at night, not getting enough rest. Now the devil is messing with you. Christians, tongue talker, tither, go to the church. Come on. You got to act, you got to do the Bible. Do all of it, y'all. At least all that you know. Because the unforgiveness can hinder the blessing of the tithe. Unforgiveness can hinder the blessing of all the other stuff God has done in your life. Amen. He wants to do. So she says, then the good news was, I finally let it go, Pastor. Because she was about to interrupt me. She said, I was about to interrupt, I thought I'm going to do it, but I was going to share with the people. She shared with me, I'm sharing with you. She said, I mean, a lady who I didn't even know, she don't know me, saying stuff about me and stirring up stuff in the company and all. So I got me a new job, doing well. God opened another door for me. And then what happened? She said, now I got me two retirements. Yeah. Two retirements. Some of y'all young folk don't get that yet. That's double for your trouble. Yeah. And two medicals. I love it. And I'm free. Say free. Now, if she would have stewed, she either would have killed herself or be there mad, and God couldn't bless her because she wasn't glad no more. Satan is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and encourages your relationships or intends. He wants to kill your relationships and your peace. Amen. Yeah. Like you said, she said, Pastor, and I understand at least twice, you know, she had to get some help because she was suicidal. It's not to put her down. It is realize she let it go too long. Let it pile up. And probably, be quite honest, because I know her, it probably wasn't just the job. It was some other stuff that got added to the job. And the job took her over over the top. I'm going to go on the side. It probably wasn't really all the job. It probably the stuff that went unaddressed before the job, once it got that bad. And then the job just took her over the top. It's real. Why folk kill people and go all that stuff? It wasn't that. It was something else. Had nothing to do with that. They got the brunt of it, but it was behind this stuff that went unaddressed. And it happens to Christians.
Yes. Yes.
Come home, and Johnny got your gal and gone. And she said nothing about it. No, she told you a long time ago. You weren't listening. Finally, she just, I want to keep it relevant and real, or else it's just Bible talk, and we don't understand it. Amen? So don't feel bad. I mean, I made some mistakes, and, you know, I get it. But today is a new day. Say, today is a new day. And I plan to do better. That's it. God's not your enemy. He's your friend. Now, look at Matthew 13, but let's talk about how do offenses come, this whole area of offense. How do they come? Now, first of all, a couple of things I want to point out as we get into this and begin to close up is people have unrealistic expectations. Say unrealistic expectations. This is a big one. You expect people to behave or do certain things, and good example. I taught years ago. I probably should teach it again about family and marriage. And you expect your husband, for example, to act spiritual, but you know he's not spiritual. So why are you expecting to act like the guy, you know, at church? Well, go to all the life groups in the Word, praying in tongues, and you know why? You expect something of him he can't do right now. You have unrealistic expectations. I recall a pastor friend of mine. You know, we pastors get together and stuff, we talk. And so it was me and two other pastors. So finally, the other pastor said something about his wife. He said, why did your wife act like that? And so her husband said, she's carnal. Carnal means fleshly. She's not mature, as she should be. Yeah, she has some issues. She grew out of it. But she had some issues. At that time, you know, people kind of observed, Pastor, I got some issues. And so his response was, and he said, you know, he didn't like rub it in. He says, she's carnal. Realistic expectation. I recall with Dr. Miles Monroe. I was on a 10 freeway, driving on the 10 freeway, going somewhere. I'm hearing the teaching on my tape, back in the tape days. And so he's talking, and a lady had come to him about her husband, you know, complaining about her husband. And so she's fussing about her husband, her relationship with her husband. And he said, he act like the devil. No, then he said, boy, is your husband saved? I told you he act like the devil. No, he's not saved. Then he said this, he's doing exactly what he should be doing, acting like the devil. Why are you surprised? This is huge. This is huge. You expect him to act like an angel, and he's of the what? Devil. Or is immature. Work with him. Work with her. Yeah. When we get this, you got a perspective. You want them to do better, but that's where they are right now. By the behavior, by how they talk, by how they walk. Work with them. Amen. I get you, sister. I get you, sister. Woo! I shared this before, but it's appropriate here about working with people. There's a brother in our church for many, many years, and so he would always help out after service and kind of pick up the trash or pick up any napkins or candy wrappers or maybe even, you know, bulletins and stuff. And one day, you know, I'm walking through like I normally do, going back to my office after first service, back to the second service. And that's some years ago, probably at least 20 years ago. And so anyway, he's walking by. I said, how you doing? Yeah, hey, Pastor, but you know what? These blankety blank blank, I can't believe they put all this stuff on the floor. This is God's sanctuary. Blankety blank. He's cussing. First thought in my mind, he's cussing in the church, and he's cussing in front of the pastor. And he didn't stop. He kept on going. So I kept on going. I didn't correct him because I knew it. That same man, they're older than myself. It could be my mom and dad. Early in our church, back at the high school, his wife would come to me crying because he wouldn't sleep with his wife. He was mad because she gained weight. His way of punishing her, trying to get her to do right. Sleep out outside the bedroom in the hallway. And it took a while for him to grow. Say a while to grow.
A while to grow.
Pretty soon, I didn't hear him cuss no more. Then they started showing up at Honey Dripping together. They had never went together. In fact, they went to both services separately, so you never know. If you didn't know them personally, you didn't know they were married. I guess they feel, I ain't going to fake it. I'm mad. Okay, you're mad. But I'm angry, not helping you. It's stewing something. It's the dis-ease. It's the dis-ease. And when we see, for us to be built to last, it's the word of God that comes up to deal with this stuff. A soft answer turns away wrath. Guard your heart with all diligence. Work hard at it. For out of it flow the issues of life. Spew. It colors everything. So let's look at Matthew 13, verse 18. This is the parable of the sower as we begin to wrap up here. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, like you're hearing the word now, and does not understand it, say it does not understand it. Say it again, please. So it's possible to hear the scriptures and then don't understand. You hear the preaching, don't understand. I get it. You know, so that's why you go deeper and study and ask questions in your Bible studies or in your life groups or ask God and he'll show you the answer. And does not understand it. Then the wicked one, notice the wicked one. He's always sneaking around trying to do some damage. Here you are in church hearing the word, but you don't understand it. The wicked one come right behind that. Why? What does that mean? What's that about? You don't understand. Okay. But he's coming to try to steal. Then cometh the wicked one and snatches away that was sown where? In his heart. It got into your heart, the word of God. This is he who receives seed by the what? Wayside. Say wayside.
Wayside.
That's the person way on the side. Not in the thick of it. Not involved, just on the side. You know, I wonder if people who get offended, they're always on the what? Side. Slow to get in, too much, don't want to commit too much. People are messy. On the what? Side. Just saying, I'm reading Bible to you. Verse 20. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word. Say, here's the word.
Here's the word.
This is the word of God, you all. The word of God. And immediately receives it with joy. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Shouting, carrying on, wonderful. Yet he has no root in himself. Oh, no deep foundation. But endures only for a while, then stuff happens. What's that? For when tribulation or persecution, you could say there's trouble. Persecution is people pursuing you, bothering you. Same person at the office, not treating you nice. You're not doing nothing. You're just going to work. They got an attitude towards you. Persecution. Don't like what you're about. Don't like what you represent. Threatened by you. And tribulation, trouble, trials, tests. Arise because of the what? The word. You're going to church. You're doing right. You're doing better now. You've been doing this for 6 months. Oh, God, and now I've got all this stuff. What happens? Immediately he stumbles or he is what? Offended. That's what it says in the King James. Offended. Because of the word. Say because of the word.
Because of the word.
I recall a guy. He was a big, strong, buff guy. We're at the high school and he was asked me to pray and believe God with him about some legal case he had. You know, could be a kind of criminal, but potentially could go to jail. And he wanted the case to come out really good. And we're praying and believing God. And then he told me one Sunday, I went, hey, they found me guilty. And he was all mad. He was mad at God. I mean, he was highly mad at God. A big, strong guy. You know what I told him? And he came to my office. And he was mad. We were praying. I'm mad. I said, you shut up. Stop talking against my God. He was big and strong, but, you know, I got angels. I don't play in my face. You talk against my God? No. I said, God is good. Because you don't know him as good, keep your mouth shut. He's good. You know what? He walked away. Walked away from God. Stop coming to church. Because of the word. See, Satan's after the word. But if you don't understand it, he snatches it. You don't have a root. You haven't gone deep. You haven't studied enough on your own. It just surfaced. It was a nice sermon. I felt good and good worship, pastor, wonderful. But did it go deep? No root in himself. Mama, she's a missionary, but she got her own roots. What about your roots in yourself? Yeah. We got to get our own roots, our own deep foundation established. Lack of knowledge and understanding can cause offense when trouble and persecution comes. You can also reference Hosea 4, 6, and 7. For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, even self-destroyed. The enemy's helping out, but we flow with it because of the choices. Not understanding about forgiveness. This is not a popular topic. In fact, my wife was telling me this Wednesday, we're getting prepared to go to teach Wednesday Bible study during the noon Bible study. And so she said, I was upstairs getting dressed. She came upstairs. Did you know that Joyce Myers, she's watching Joyce Myers. Joyce Myers talking about the same topic. You talking about, Ed, about forgiveness and love? I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, I recognize it. That's what the Spirit is saying to the churches. She has an international platform. Her TV program is aired all over the world. God is speaking to the churches. Get it together. Get it together. Oh, yeah. We're talking about the miracles. Miracle worker, that song, right? Powerful song. God spoke to me. And I've been guilty of this myself. I'm looking for miracles. God, do miracles, signs and wonders. We're praying for that. He said, let me do a miracle in your heart first. We want God to do miracles for those folk. What about a miracle in us? In our heart first. We forgot about that one. Because it requires a spiritual miracle to fix some of the stuff in our heart. Verse 22. Now when he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Say, here's the word.
Here's the word.
Everybody's hearing the word. And the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word. Say, choke the word.
Choke the word.
I mean, notice the deceitfulness of riches. Got promised and all of a sudden, I was so close. The Bible says, putting God first, he adds to you. I'd rather live with God adding to me than not trying to add to myself.
Amen.
Hook or crook, got 4 or 5 jobs, hustle, gig here, gig there. You can't get enough sleep. And then somehow, where's God at? I'm close. That's the cares of the world. It chokes the word. Say, it chokes the word. And we become unfruitful. Verse 23, this is the one. But he who receives seed on the good ground, say good ground. Say good ground. Is he who hears the word, they all hear it, but this one also what? Understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Wow. You know, this fruit can be any area of your life. But he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Not just only fruit of stuff and numbers of things, but it's relationships. And are we growing in our relationships that we do have? Are we adding relationships, people to our relationships? And then are we helping to restore the ones we may have lost? That's all bearing fruit. Long suffering, that's love. Patient. Kind, joy, that's it. Some folk, you need to ask yourself, when's the last time you had a good laugh? Yeah, when's the last time you had a good laugh? If it's hard to think about it, take this medicine. Because God wants you to be around. If you're not smiling, not laughing, not enjoying life.
Amen.
And you don't want to do it by yourself, in a house by yourself. It involves people. You can laugh with God, you and God, but you know what, God, I said, I got some people, you can laugh with them too. but see, if you don't deal with it, we have difficulty because we got to the place where we are, not you, those are watching today. You know, you all good. I know, but maybe I don't pick on you all watching on TV, on the line, but maybe some of you. We just didn't learn how to do this. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know. I'm getting better. I'm still working at it. That's what I'm talking about. I got to study, and I said, I got to share this with the church, too. We can do better. Say, do better.
Do better.
But you have to be willing to grow. See, Dr. Jack talks about it. Jack Hayford. See, it's the heart. That's what it says. Do you have an ear to hear? If you don't have an ear to hear, you can't grow. I don't want to change. Well, that's your problem. But see, but you don't have to have it if you're willing to grow. There's a life God has for you. There's a life God has for all of us. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. And many in the church are experiencing it. But he wants us all to experience it on an ongoing basis. It's called abundant life. Even when stuff happens, bad stuff happens, setback happens, you can come back, bless God. And be enjoying life while you're coming back too. Have the setback and laugh at the devil. Okay, you got one lick in. You ain't getting another one. I'm on guard now.
Amen.
Because you're proactive with the word of God.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
That's all you got to do.
Amen.
You know, don't beat yourself up and say it's a new day today. Say a new day today.
New day today.
Understanding is the key to avoiding being offended. having realistic expectations of people. So I have a slide here for scriptures I would like you to meditate on, think about. Proverbs 4, 7. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Joshua 1, 8. And Hebrews 11, 6. 4, 2. Wisdom is the principal thing. But of all that getting, get understanding. You got to go after it.
Amen.
Proverbs 4, 20. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. Then he goes on further about how he gives you a long life and help you health. All that deals with the come out of the heart.
Amen.
Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law, thou shalt meditate day and night and observe to do all that is written therein. And then you make your own way prosper because you're making better decisions now. And you have good success in your life. That's the blessing of God. That's the word of God.
Amen.
It's not some gimmick, but it's the heart issue. What are you looking at? You're looking at the word often enough and thinking about it deeply. Let it go deep. Your first reading, first study, man, you got a little surface knowledge. Go a little deeper again. Go further again over years and go over it. Finally, there's more in there. There's more in there. A lot more in there.
Amen.
Yeah, there's more in there. And then Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. At the end of the day, oftentimes the biggest problem people have, my friend, is that God's not their source. They owe me some money. I lent them some money. They ain't paying me back. They avoided me at the Christmas party, at the family Christmas party. I'm mad at them. You know what? While you're mad, you're not healthy. You're not a good example before them. Just let it go. He's taking advantage of me. You know, it ain't about you. You mean God can add to you? Now you're going to force it out of them because you had an agreement and they broke it? Yeah, you may not borrow lending money no more, but my point is that is, come on. But is God really your source? When he's your source, all right, he brings it back to you, you take the check or take the cash, no matter, no problem. But you're not seeking, you're not running after why. God's my source and God will come through for you. He'll come through because you're putting him first. His way of relating to people. Putting him first. And I'm going to add to you. In fact, I'm going to add the money he should have gave you and more. Say and more.
And more.
That's God's way. He's an add-on God and multiply God. But see, I don't know that term. God is my source. I've got it by studying and reading about Oral Roberts. He said, when I found out that God was my source, changed everything in my life. Not just the money, everything. I go to him. God, I ain't looking at nobody but you now. Not my rich uncle, because he's running away from me. Not answer my phone calls. I'm looking to you now. You're my source. And when you get that, you're free. You don't have to be hating on people. You just realize you have to have realistic expectations of people. And sometimes they miss it. And when they miss it, don't let it be a problem in your life. God, we want to, yeah. Oh, God. It's all right. Let's let God speak. Let God minister to you. Can you close your eyes for a moment? Baby's okay. Let God minister to us. Let it marinate and go deeper. The word. You heard the word. You don't want to lose this. You want Satan to come steal the word. Think about what was said and how what God was saying to you. When a message like this, really any message God speaks to the man and woman of God, or when you read it, he has a rhema word for you. So what is he saying to you about this? What should you do? I don't need to tell you what to do. God's already begun to speak to you. Now what you need to do is make a decision to respond to it and say yes. Say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Heal my heart, Lord God. Oh, God, hear my heart. Yeah. Heal my heart, Lord. Yeah. Heal my heart.